To its supporters, civil asset forfeiture is a valuable tool of law enforcement, especially effective in the war on drugs. To its opponents, it's legalized theft. It's the process by which a person's assets can be seized when he or she is suspected of a crime. That's suspected, not convicted, and therein lies the heart of the legal argument against it. A state auditor's report released earlier this week took the state attorney general's office to task, saying the bar was set too low and that transparency and accountability in civil forfeiture were lacking. Carl Berquist is the executive director of the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii. He's in our studio with his reaction. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning, Chris.
Is it accurate to say that this process was largely aimed at the drug trade?
No, that is most likely not accurate at all. The audit does not reveal all of the details of who has been impacted by this, but it's safe to say that if that was the case, that these individuals and their properties would have been trotted out by the prosecutors in the Attorney General's office to highlight how this program is working really well. Actually, you know, to the contrary, as the audit reveals, the program has absolutely no oversight. There are no administrative rules in effect, and convictions are not required. And there's just a whole host of problems that are revealed in this report with the current asset forfeiture program, which is in and of itself already flawed. So we need to, first of all, have some kind of oversight of this current program, but it needs to be reformed at its root as well, so a conviction is, for example, required before taking someone's property.
Wasn't it originally sold to the public as a tool to deal with, you know, high-end drug dealers?
Absolutely. You can, you know, go back to 1980 and watch.
That was the rationale, right?
Sure. Go back to the war on drugs. Back in the days, this program is about 30 years old, and you can watch a movie like Scarface, the classic by Brian De Palma, and see a drug kingpin who has lots of assets, and they just can't get him, you know, or go back to Al Capone. How did we get him? You know, on some kind
taxes.
Of taxes. So
yeah.
If we can't convict these folks, let's take their property and make their lives miserable. But what we're seeing is that these are not the people impacted. It's small amounts of money or some kind of property that's taken from an individual, and often there's no conviction obtained, and the person may not know how to get it back, or they don't have an attorney that can help them, so they never get their money back, and it could take years for them to actually get it back. And the few stories that we've seen anecdotally that have emerged confirm this. It's individuals whose son was maybe involved in some kind of escapade and their van was taken, or it's someone else whose cash was taken because they were driving cross country to start a new life somewhere, and there was no conviction.
I mean, they get pulled over and they
got a lot of cash, and then that money is taken. So
because it might be for a drug buy, or I'm trying to get at the rationale for.
Yeah, that's what they would claim, and most often that is never proven. But the problem is that because no conviction is required, law enforcement then can keep the money and use it for certain things, and it doesn't go into the general fund of the state, and goes into the criminal forfeiture fund, where then law enforcement can use it to buy equipment and other things that are not budgeted for them. You know, if these things are so important, they should be budgeted rather than sort of bought with someone else's property.
Well, let's just – so hypothetically, I'm a criminal suspect. I get caught with something in my car. And as part of that, while my case is adjudicated, my car gets confiscated. Right. That would be a civil asset forfeiture.
Correct. That they could do that if they have a very low level of suspicion of you being involved in certain offenses.
And then go through the courts. I'm cleared. Clean bill of health. Where's my car?
Well, your car, it depends on – it's kind of in the details. And as the audit reveals, the process in which an individual should go through to get their property back – it's not even laid out in administrative rules. So by the time that the case is dismissed, your vehicle could have been sold. It could have been sold, and then the money could have gone into the forfeiture fund and then used for the purchase of some kind of police equipment or other things, and you could do nothing about it.
Who would I even talk to about it?
Well, if you catch it early enough in the process and you could either try to represent yourself, which is probably not advisable, And you could try to get an attorney. And yes, there are cases where people are successful in retrieving their property, but their issue is it takes a long time. So even if someone is proved completely innocent at the end of the day, their property could have been held, kept away for quite some time. And for an individual with a modest income, especially here in Hawaii, that could be the end of a business or anything. So it's very problematic the way it's set up, especially in Hawaii. And I really want to emphasize that, we have two issues here. One is the state law, which Hawaii has absolutely one of the worst in the country. No oversight, as it turns out. It's even worse than we thought. No conviction required. Very low-level burden of proof to even initiate the process. And then we have federal asset forfeiture, where even if we were to reform our state law, state law enforcement could cooperate with federal law enforcement and have a joint task force and kind of circumvent any reform we would want to do at the state level. So going forward, we need to make sure that we reform both the state law, get these administrative rules and real oversight in place, and make sure that local law enforcement doesn't resort to working with Jeff Sessions to seize property.
We think of the way our country is established as something where, in particular, from the beginning, private property has been sacrosanct. My land, my possessions, there's nothing to talk about, right? And yet this seems to break through that very fundamental, constitutionally protected right. That there's been a lot of energy expended to protect that right. This seems to throw it out the window.
Correct. And I think that's why we've seen several court cases, most recently the Illinois Supreme Court, saying that this practice is unconstitutional the way it's run in Illinois. And Illinois' program is better than ours. So if theirs is unconstitutional, I'm going to guess that ours might be held the same by our Supreme Court. And then simultaneously, the U.S. Supreme Court announced last week that it's going to take up a case looking at this practice and see how that kind of squares against the Constitution. And, that's one of the key things to emphasize here. This is really a bipartisan, nonpartisan issue. You have the most liberal, the most conservative folks generally agreeing on this. That's why Congress got together and stopped Jeff Sessions from kind of upping his attempt to use this program last year. And I'm hopeful that we can do the same here in Hawaii, where most folks I talk to seem to be opposed to the practice, but we just haven't done anything to date. And everyone was waiting for this audit, and this audit gives us ample ammunition to reform the program at its roots.
We'll see where it goes, Carl. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Carl Berquist is the Executive Director of the Drug Policy Forum of Hawaii.